Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello, Saints fans. What's going on? Welcome on into the first of hopefully 23 or 24 Saints game days this year. Seth Dunlap, Steve Court here for Saints Fans First Take. Saints and Jacksonville coming up at 6 o'clock right here on the Saints Radio Network. Welcome on in. We got a big show for you. Getting you started today, this Thursday afternoon. Scott Alexander coming up live from Jacksonville in 20 minutes. And this is your show, so we're taking your calls, texts, and tweets all 2 hours, getting you set before we hand it off to the Saints Radio Network, Christian Garrick and Bobby Aver for the countdown to kickoff. And Steve Court, former Saints offensive lineman, my new partner on the show. Welcome on in, man. How are you?
Yeah, welcome to the group, man. It's
appreciate it.
Hadn't been here, and I know I'm going into my 14th year of doing this.
Yeah, you're that Alex. Grizzled, savvy vet.
Grizzled. I don't know about savvy, but certainly grizzled. Let's say that.
So we were talking on my show, Double Coverage, a couple of nights ago, and I agree with you. It's football, but in the loosest of terms, it's game football.
Yeah, it is. But at the same time, look, I've always sort of kind of browbeat this time of the year because I remember what it was to be a player and being in these situations. And you know, you're kind of going through, I don't want to say the motions, because that's certainly not what you're doing, but you're kind of going out there knowing that you're going to have a certain number of reps. And like you mentioned to me before, I don't even know if the ones are going to be getting reps tonight. But we always sort of predetermined as to what reps the starters were going to get. And I sort of looked forward to the preseason games usually meant that camp was getting ready to kind of get wound up and be over with. So that to me was always a good sign. So, but the fact is you're going out there and you're trying to do, if you get, 11 or 12 plays, you're trying to get 11 or 12 perfect plays, and you don't get perfect plays, but you try to be as perfect as you can in doing them. And I think you sort of build on that, and that gives you the confidence and you'll be able to run some things and execute some things. And I think once you get to that point, that offense begins to come together, and then you really kind of get out and kind of cool the guys off, because the biggest part of this whole preseason, and it's getting more and more abject from the standpoint of young guys trying to get a position, is the standpoint of, hey, these reps are penultimate. They are crucial, and each and every rep that these guys take is going to be studied upon, because they're trying to find out who can play in this league and who can't. Now, it's not quite game speed yet, but at the same time it's faster than they've ever seen before. And again, they're playing with a mix of veterans in there, a lot of the younger guys, but at the same time there's also guys that are starting to build through that same kind of period of that training camp. You're getting better from practice to practice to practice as a young pro really easy. I mean, you can see these guys from week to week how much more they improve, and some guys they fall off during camp, and other guys, you see them really, really step up, and you say, man, this guy was sort of a question mark at the beginning of camp, and now he looks to me like he's sort of a guy you almost have to pencil in. So we hope for more of those than not.
Yeah, maybe Tre'Quan Smith is somebody we can talk about a little bit later, a guy who we're kind of penciling in now as to be a factor on offense for the Saints this year. Some of the other battles we'll talk about a little later in the show. Tom Savage against Taysom Hill, the backup quarterback spot, and why that job is really important here in the NFL, in the modern era of the NFL. The battle for the returner jobs, that's front and center. And also the new helmet hit rule. I want to get Steve's take on that. And your calls all show long. Again, this is your show, so line those calls up. 504-260-1870. That's the number, Saints fans. 504-260-1870. You can shoot us a text at 870-870. Here's our Blue Runner Foods opinion poll today. What Saints positional battle are you watching closest tonight? Backup quarterback, punt return battle, the running back battle, linebacker, offensive line. You can log on to WWL.com and you can cast your vote there. Our Oakland Heart Rolex time is 1 hour and 45 minutes before, I should say 3 hours and 45 minutes before kickoff out in Jacksonville. We'll take our first break when we come back. Scott Alexander, who's producing tonight for Zach, Deuce, Steve, and the crew over there in Jacksonville, he will join us live from Jacksonville. I'm Seth Dunlap alongside Steve Court. This is Fans First Take on Saints Radio, WWL. Just getting started, and look, like I said, hopefully this is the first, Steve, of 23 broadcasts for us, because I want that first round bye, and then you got two NFC games and then a Super Bowl, right? This is one of 23. We're starting it off right here.
Hey, I agree with you. If you can figure that out, and it sounds to me like you have, then 23 is the one to go. But if we get there 25... It's okay. We get there.
24. I think 24 is the max, right? Because that would be no first round bye.
Okay. Yeah. 24. Okay.
For preseason.
That would be, I'll take that too.
Yeah.
But it's just, you don't have to grab my backside as bad.
Four preseason, 16 regular season, and those playoff games.
There you go.
And somebody who's going to be here for them all pretty much is Scott Alexander, host of Primetime Sports on CST and WLAE TV. And Scott he's kind of taken over for me in the booth this year, which is great because he has a longtime background as a producer for big time radio and television programs, play-by-play broadcast, and he's going to be in the booth with Zach Streif, Deuce McAllister, Robert Carroll, helping produce these shows and these broadcasts, and he is in Jacksonville today. I saw a great picture apparently taken by Alvin Kamara, Scott, yesterday at dinner with the big crew, and you guys are ready to go. Scott Alexander joining us now. What's up, Scotty?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Good, Scott. What's happening?
It's all good. I'm actually in the room right now. We're doing some pre-prep before the game with Zach Streif, who's calling his first game. And We're all excited, trying to get these pronunciations down and get all the right numbers and facts ready for the game. So we're excited and ready to go.
Well, that sounds great. I tell you what, I'm excited to listen to Zach as well. I got to know him a lot more here in about the past year and a half or so. And he's going to be a great addition there to you guys. And I think we're all going to be enjoy the great benefit of listening to him and the insight that he has in this game.
Yeah, we're all pumped about it. I can't wait. Kickoff is what? Only about 3.5 hours away. We wish it was right now. So we're almost there.
It'll fly by. Give us a little scene set, Scotty, over there in Jacksonville. Tell us about the city, what the weather's like. A lot of fans out today. I don't know, Jacksonville preseason football. Is it like here in New Orleans where you see jerseys everywhere?
I haven't seen them yet. I did get out for lunch. I didn't go right by the stadium, but it is nice. A little cloudy now, but it's been a beautiful day. We're right on the St. John River. That's where Jacksonville plays. We're kind of across the river, I believe, from where they are. But it's a nice day out, and it should be a nice day tonight. But you know how it is anytime you're around the water. It can rain at any time. I'm hoping it doesn't. But, the Saints get to play a lot of their young guys, and even Jacksonville quarterback, one of the guys trying to make this team, is a New Orleans native from Jesuit, Tanner Lee. Who played some at Tulane and then Nebraska. They really love him up here. He's got the big arm, makes all the throws. So it's not just the Saints guys. We have a little local flavor playing on the other side as well, since they probably won't play Bortles. They'll probably play him and Kessler half the game each.
I got to play in Jacksonville one time in college. I played in the Gator Bowl. How about that, Scott?
Well, that's still the Gator Bowl.
Isn't that great?
They refurbished it. It looks fantastic.
Yeah, the fog rolled in about the second half, and it was – man, it was lights out. But
who did Arkansas play, Steve?
We played North Carolina in that game. North Carolina.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that Lawrence Taylor, North Carolina?
Yeah. Year after he got in the league.
Okay.
Yeah,
I know you were around the same time.
But they had
a
good ball club. But they had I can't remember the kid's name, the running back's name, Kelvin Bryant.
Oh, they had Kelvin Bryant.
Yeah, good
Kelvin
player. Bryant. I mean, yeah, he was a solid player, and they were pretty good. They beat us. I think we tried to come. They had a big lead on us, and we tried to come back, and we almost scored there at the very end of the game. And I think we went, it was like fourth down, and I think overthrew the ball or something like that. But it was
speaking
close.
Of your Arkansas team, we were just talking about the running backs that may replace Mark Ingram earlier. There are a lot of guys, veterans and rookies alike, going to get a shot, or I should say younger players and veterans. Of course, one of the guys was Jonathan Williams, who had two phenomenal seasons at Arkansas his sophomore and junior year. He combined for 20 touchdowns and 2,500 yards in those 2 years. But he's going to get a shot, just like, you know, some of the veterans like Terrence West and, of course, Shane Vereen. And then they got Trey Edmonds, who also played Virginia Tech and Maryland. So we're gonna see who the running backs are gonna emerge in this battle.
Yep, you know those running backs are like, I've always said, they're like high performance racing car tires. You have to change them out often, you know. But
that's
you want
true.
Them and but you have to change them out often, and you need about three or four good ones. So you got to have them around, you know, because you're going to get a flat every now and then.
That's great. It's Saints First Take here on WWL. We're joined by Scott Alexander. And Scott, give us a little inside on how preparation's going with Zach. Because I know everybody listening's wondering, hey, Zach, this is his first gig. He's going to be with his partner, his good friend, Deuce McAllister. So how's the preparation going? Take us behind those scenes.
Well, let me say this. I know people that listen to the Tulane game, you got a taste of what you're going to see at Tulane Stadium on Sunday. Because the banter between these two, they give an insight that none of us have. Let's be honest. I mean, a lot of times you'll have a colored player, a former player on a team that may have played recently, but you have two guys. One's been retired for about a decade, and the other just retired. So you have inside scoop right there. That, of course, Jim Henderson had a lot of it. I mean, he was one of the greatest of all time. But Zach was a player, and he's going to have a little something extra. So I was listening during the scrimmage when, you know, I was up in the booth and I was listening to some of the banter, and that's going to be the unique thing of this broadcast. They're going to bring a little different twist that I think the fans are going to love, and I'm looking forward to hearing it myself, and I know the rest of the season.
You know,
what's up?
I'll tell you this, Scott. I know exactly what's going to happen because I know Zach well enough already to know that I'm telling you right now, he can tell by what's happening. And if he's able to listen to it and he's able to get a clear enough shot from what's going on as far as, you know, either check downs or whatever, he's going to know what the play is, and that's really going to help. That's going to be you talk about a unique situation. That's going to be fun to watch.
You know the tradition here in New Orleans. They turn down. I hate to say it because we have a great TV broadcast too, with Vince Cone and Myers, but they a lot of them turn it down, and then they listen and watch it on television. They turn down and listen to WWL.
Yeah, well,
that's right. Turn down the TV, turn up the sound.
There it is, baby. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, indeed. What do you think about the two battles that we're going to be talking about later, Scott? And I know you've been out to many of these training camp practices. The battle for the backup quarterback position, which I think just in this league today with the injuries of that position, is incredibly important. I mean, we just saw what happened last year. And then also the battle for the return jobs, which Sean Payton compared it to The Bachelor, and we still don't have a front runner there.
Well, I'm going to say this. First of all, the quarterback thing, it's kind of funny how people are flipping around. I remember on the first day of camp or the first couple, even maybe before camp, people were just all about Taysom Hill. It's Taysom Hill coming out of minicamp. And I kept thinking, you know, Tom Savage is a guy that's been there. Maybe he didn't have a ton of success at Houston, but there are factors that played in. That team was made for a while, certainly on both sides of the ball. And now you see when Tom Savage is running with the units, up and down the field a little bit. He knows how to play quarterback. I mean, he has more experience than Taysom Hill. So all of a sudden, the people that were all over Taysom Hill are kind of saying it's 50-50 now. And I think preseason is going to make it shake out. Tom Savage is definitely the more cool, under pressure veteran right now. I mean, in my opinion. And I feel, you know, nobody's going to replace Drew Brees if Drew happens to get hurt. But you'd have a better chance of winning the game today if, for instance, he went out in the game and then putting Savage in. But Taysom Hill is going to make this team regardless. He is going to be on the team. They love him too much as not just a player, but the things he can do. And obviously the special teams, he loves to go down and hit people. He's got the great size. So it's a matter of if they keep two or three quarterbacks. In my opinion, I think they're going to go ahead and keep three, and Taysom Hill's going to be more of an emergency guy. So,
you know, I'll tell you this, Scott. I'll tell you this. The interesting thing about Taysom Hill is, he's the most physical quarterback in the league, hands down. I don't see anybody else running down on kickoffs or punt coverage.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy is a, I don't know, he's about a 6 foot three or four guy, and he's about, he runs at like a 4.3 something 40, which is incredible. He's like got a 40-inch vertical, you know, and the guy uses those athletic skills to run down the field. There's not anybody that can block him. And then he's kind of got that explosiveness about him because, you know, obviously if you can do those things and run that fast and jump that high, you've got some white twitch fibers in there. And I can tell you that he's the most physical quarterback I've ever seen in my life. So I know that it's funny if you have a guy that can actually play that uniquely finesse position in quarterback and at the same time can go cover a punt, you know, and splatter the guy that's catching the ball. There's not many of those out there.
Well, you know, Deshaun's dying to run a few fakes. And we all saw what happened with Thomas Morstead tried to do that. It didn't work out great. Morstead's a phenomenal athlete. We know that. But Taysom Hill brings a different dimension at the holder position. And obviously, fakes aren't something you're going to do all the time. You try to get three or so in a season. And sometimes they turn the game and give you a win, make you 12-4 instead of 11-5. So the fact is, that's going to be another reason why I feel he's going to be on the team. But as far as returners go, this is preseason, man. They're going to figure it out now. It's one thing to catch the punt in the regular season, and I think the one guy who's shown it before on a regular basis is Brandon Tate. Obviously, he had some great years playing with Buffalo, and this guy can give you 10 yards every return. I would say at the moment, he would be the front runner, but Tommy Lee Lewis is electrifying, and if he can prove that he can hang on to every punt, I mean, there's nothing worse than fumbling a punt. It just ruins everything that defense just did for you to stop the other team. It turns the momentum back around. So Sean Payton doesn't have faith that you can catch every single punt, not 19 out of 20, but 20 out of 20. He's going to put you back there if you can do some electric things.
You know what's going to be interesting about that, too? It's going to be fun to watch on that punt game and that punt return. If things start to get tight in the season, you're going to see number 41 there because there's a chance anytime they hands the ball gets in that guy's hands, it's curtains. And I know that.
Well, when it matters, he's going to be in.
Exactly.
Right.
When it matters, I agree with you. Yeah. And I think that's sort of that's a nice guy to be able to fall back on when you got a guy that can break it and you know that, you know, has those skills. You say, look, I know he hadn't worked on it a lot in a couple of weeks here. You know, he takes a couple of punt returns, you know, a week just to sort of see the ball and you know, to watch it in and things like that. But other than that, he's kind of special to watch.
He took a bunch of them at Tulane, though. He was returning a bunch. I mean, that told me that they're considering and they're going to use him in certain spots.
Yeah, they should. Hey, Scott, look, great work, man. I'm glad to have you part of the game day crew again this year, and I know you are going to do a fantastic job, as is everybody in the booth this season. Thanks so much for joining us, and give our regards to Zach and Deuce and everybody, all right?
Exactly. They say give your regards to them. Okay.
Oh, and by the way, please give Robert Carroll a big pat on the back and tell him I said hi. I miss him. So
I will. Yeah,
Scott,
I will.
Welcome to the team, man. I'm glad to see you.
All right. Thanks, Steve. I appreciate it.
You bet, buddy.
There you go. Scott Alexander, you can watch him every week on Primetime Sports on CST TV and also WLAE TV. Good stuff there. Live from Jacksonville. Usually during the season, we're going to have Steve Geller in that slot. Steve prepping for his first broadcast this year. Didn't want to upset that apple cart as he gets ready for his first ever job on the Saints sideline. Know what I mean, Steve? You've been there, right?
he's probably a poor guy. He's probably got butterflies the size of
pterodactyls. I remember my first play-by-play broadcast very vividly and how nervous I was.
I can imagine.
We got a break for CBS News and local news. When we come back, your phone calls. Line them up, Saints fans. First game day, 504-260-1870. I'm Seth Dunlap. He's Steve Court. This is Fans First Take on Saints Radio, WWL. Phone lines are open for you, 504-260-1870. 260-1870. First of what we hope is 23-24 of these babies as the Saints season gets underway. Steve, so there's this new helmet rule that is all the rage, and I should say people are all enraged more than it's the rage about this. The new rule basically in a nutshell says that any contact initiated by lowering the helmet, whether you're an offensive player or a defensive player, whether that's an offensive lineman, whether that's a defensive back, whether that's Marshawn Lynch trying to truck over some guys lowering that helmet, that's going to be a penalty, and depending on the severity of the contact, you could be ejected. Now, referee Brad Allen came out this week. He's one of really the more prominent referees. I think he did the AFC Championship game last year, one of the championship games last year. Here's what he said about this. Quote, we're going to have to get a library, and frankly, in the preseason, we're going to have to throw many flags and then go back and say, no, this is not really what we want. In the preseason, we want to err on the side of putting the flag on the ground and then evaluating if it's correct, end quote there. So he's saying, basically, they're going to throw a bunch of flags for this and then try to get players used to this and then go back and say, okay, this is maybe something we wouldn't want to call. So we're going to see a lot of flags in the preseason.
So this is going to be yard sale. It's kind of what you're saying. So, I don't know. There's a part of me that, you know, the head it's as a former player, I don't know how that's going to play out from the standpoint of in the trench. How is that going to portray itself? I mean, there's times I would have to go lower on a guy than take him up high, and sometimes I would, and in doing so, that means I'm going to have my head a little lower. Now, does that constitute that? Now, have I just committed a penalty?
Sounds like it. If you initiate contact by the letter of the law, there, yeah,
yeah. And so I'm thinking at the same time, I'm pulling out and I'm trying to get in front of a safety or a cornerback, and they're like cats. If you know anything about those cornerbacks, okay, you can be right in front of them and they can turn to smoke in a matter of a split second, right, and then disappears from you. So we were always taught to throw on them, and how you do that is you throw at their belt level. And in doing so, when you throw at somebody's belt level, you know, with your body, then usually you end up hitting them about the knees as you're sort of, you know, flying through the air type thing. In doing so, there'd be times that little guy would sort of get in the way and my head would hit his head, or, you know, my helmet would hit his. So at that point now we're talking about, okay, now this is a penalty. Now, it's a 3-4 defense, and I'm a guard, and I'm going out on a, you know, just a sort of a base block on a linebacker. I have to somewhat get my body in position to take that blow and for myself to deliver the blow to move that guy. If not, he's going to hit me in the chest, and he's going to crush me.
Right.
So now, is that a penalty on him? For
it would be. Now, so that's the other interesting part. And it's not just, for anybody listening out there, it's not just the helmet-to-helmet hits anymore. This is, if you lower your helmet into the chest of somebody, that's a penalty now, too.
You know, I understand why they're doing it. And I don't know. I can't articulate this very well today. I'm struggling with this. But that's going to be a problem just from the standpoint of, okay, especially on a defensive side. If I just flip the script here, for me being an offensive player in the pros, when I was playing defense my first couple of years in college before they moved me to the offensive line because I was not good at defensive line, how do you play defense at that point?
Well, that's what people are saying. How do you play defense in this league right now?
These guys already are, you know, they slant these things from the standpoint of points. Points is what's exciting, and points is what the public likes. I get that to a certain extent, but at the same time, there's got to be a way that defensive players can still do what they're supposed to do best. And if you take away that physicality that they have and possess, which is, makes them the greatest, you know, part of your team as far as a functioning unit to stop another team, I don't know how they can effectively do that. I mean, they can't just be like grabbing at ankles and like.
Well, I don't think anybody wants this to turn into arena football or CFL.
Well, it's like you just, what am I supposed to do is I grab the guy and like hug him to the ground or something. I mean, I don't understand sort of the how they're going to, you're going to damage the sport in such a way that you're not going to be able to have the ferociousness of it and the performance of it that guys build themselves up to be, and or they're trying to get faster, stronger, more explosive to be this much more violent football player. But what I said right there is a penalty.
Yeah,
you know, they don't want violent football player anymore. You want a kinder, gentler football player that's going to hug everybody to the ground. I don't understand how they're going to do it without damaging the product.
Yeah, well, it's going to be very interesting to pay attention to all preseason long. And if Brad Allen is telling the truth here, then expect even tonight a boatload of these flags. We saw that in the Hall of Fame game, even.
So it's going to be. It's going to be like a 4.5-hour game.
Yeah. The Hall of Fame game, I think, was like 3.5, 3:45 with all these.
That's going to be.
And it's ugly football, anyways, if you're talking about the second, third stringers. Mm. So,
and the thing is, what it does is that prevents the younger guys from really being able to go out and show what they do best. Maybe this kid came out of college from a smaller school and he was a terrific hitter. You know, that's what he did best. And now all of a sudden he's going to have to like sort of step back and say, now I've got to try to figure this out. I got here based on this toughness that I have, and now I have to back off on this. Now all of a sudden, hey, I might not make this football club because I can't play this game the aggressive way that I was taught to play it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what to say
about this. I think you've just echoed everything I've heard from players so far, and they need clarity here, and I don't think they're getting clarity yet. But look, the rule is early. Also, we're going to keep an eye on the new catch rule and see how they call that. If you're on hold, Truck and Larry and everybody else will see you. We'll get your calls. If you've got a question for Steve, you want to sound off on the Saints, This is your show, 504-260-1870. That's the phone number. The text line, 870-870. I'm Seth Dunlap. He's Steve Kort. This is Fans First Take on Saints Radio, WWL. Our Blue Runner Foods opinion poll at WWL.com. What Saints positional battle are you watching the closest tonight? Backup quarterback, punt and kick return, running back, linebacker, O-line. I know where Steve's voting.
Oh, yeah.
Log
Blue
on.
Blue Runner.
There you go.
I love me some Blue Runner beans.
WWL.com will update that for you. Top of the hour. Let's get to some calls here. Got some questions for Kort. You just heard the numbers.
Yeah.
This is your show. Let's go to Truck and Larry. Larry, what's going on?
Hey, thank you for taking my call. Steve, my hero, what's up, my boy?
How you doing, buddy?
I've been waiting for this. I'll meet you at the dome. But anyway, it's going to get to the point where we're going to be playing flag football. Come on now. The man carrying the ball, he's got the right of way. He can make you. He can make a penalty on that defense just as fast as he can, offense or defense.
Larry, you know what I've heard as well? That now that the running back – say he takes a pitch or, you know, a handoff or something like that, and he breaks it outside and begins to turn the corner, and he's going to get hit. And if he does what normal running backs do, is they kind of get their pads over their toes and they get low, and they get their head down to sort of protect that side, they, you know, put the ball on the outside arm and all that. But if he puts his head down and strikes with that as he's hitting that other player, that can be a penalty on the running back. Now, there's going to be a huge problem with that, because I'm just telling you right now what's going to happen is there's going to be somebody that's going to get a third and one or a third and two. They're going to get a first down on something, and it's going to be in a game-type playoff situation or whatever, and they're going to call a flag on that, and they're going to call that back, and there is going to be a huge problem.
You want to hear a rule that I think is even worse, Steve? Then this one. This one's not – I don't think this one's great. You want to hear one that's actually in the books that people haven't talked about, and thanks for the call, Larry, on this one. So now they are treating head-first slides the same way they are treating feet-first slides. So here's a scenario. You got a quarterback. Let's say it's fourth and goal at the one-yard line late in the game. You need a touchdown to win. If that quarterback dives head-first into the end zone, that they call that down where he started the slide, just like – or where he started the dive, just like if he was sliding feet first. That's in the book. It got a lot of play yesterday on NBC Sports and Pro Football Talk. I am telling you, people are going to be outraged because this isn't the official's problem. This is what the owners and the rule committee changed. Again, this I'm not making this up. This isn't fake news. Right now, on the books in the NFL, if a quarterback dives head first, they are treated the same way as if they are sliding feet first. You got a quarterback diving for a first down head first, diving for the end zone, diving for the pylon. That's no longer a touchdown. That's down where you begin that slide.
You know,
it's absurd. It's insane.
You know what? How many times do we see Drew Brees do that?
Yeah.
When he takes the snap from the center, from behind the center, takes one step back, and he jumps over and he stretches his arms out to break the plane.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a touchdown anymore. Well, he's diving.
If he's diving, yeah. If he's diving to the ground, yes. I don't like reaching the ball over, I guess, wouldn't be. But let's say.
But he's diving with his, you know, he's.
I hear
he's
you.
Got his hands out.
I hear you.
Him.
That's the rule. I believe it was Pro Football Talk. Our partners there laid this out. That's crazy. I don't know if they didn't realize this. Can you imagine?
No.
The outrage. We don't have a running quarterback here, but let's say Cam Newton. We'd love it here if it happened against the Saints. But can you imagine Cam Newton late in the game dives for the pylon, scores a winning touchdown, and he's called down? Do you imagine the outrage for that, Steve?
That's not football. I mean, that's you're scrapping and clawing and fighting for every single inch you get, and these guys are putting it on the line, and they're diving for it because they don't dive in practice. You know, okay, they're diving in a game because they're trying to win the game, and they're going to get called as a penalty. I don't know. That's going to be
It's absurd. It's something that hopefully they'll change here before the regular season starts. One more real quick call. Keith in Metairie. Keith, you're on WWL.
Hey, guys. How are things going today?
Good.
Good, man.
Well, I'm going to tell you, man, that we talk about this rule. I got to tell you, I don't know what the owners do because – first, we started out where you couldn't celebrate in the end zone. Fans got upset about that, so they brought that back that you could. So now we have this thing with, you know, you're going to get sliced apart if you are running back and you can't put your head down. Believe me that what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
My wife has already said, because we already got the tickets at the end of this season, That's it. We don't. We'll watch it on TV and we'll watch some college football. Believe me, you watch across the board at the end of this year how many people are not going to renew their tickets for any team. I'm not talking about just in New Orleans. I'm talking about for any team. So I think the owners, instead of not having anything to do, they need to find something to do and be happy with what they make.
You know, I can tell you this. You bring up kind of a good point, Keith. I mean, I'll tell you this. I think that if you damage the game to the point where it becomes somewhat unwatchable, because, like I've said before, you take away that kind of violence, speed and that big hit and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Now, some of the hits, I agree. You can't just spear people and stuff like that. But at the same time, you take away that kind of stuff where you've got running backs that are having to put their head down because they're getting the extra yard, they're doing those types of things. If you take that stuff out of the game, it's not going to resemble the game that we've grown to love. And I think you're right. I think that may cannibalize a lot of what's going to happen with the NFL.
I'm concerned. I'm really concerned. Thanks for the call, Keith and Metri. Here is the rule straight from the league's online rules right now, courtesy of Pro Football Talk. Quote, a quarterback does not have to slide feet first to be considered giving himself up. Regardless of whether the slide is feet first or head first, as long as he gives himself up, he should receive the protection afforded to him as a player. Now, here's what a league spokesman, Rusty Baines, told ESPN earlier this week. It's a big change this year, because if you were a runner or quarterback and dove head first, you could if you were untouched. I get all that slide if you went head first. Now you cannot. It'll be interesting to see what happens at the goal line. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens at the goal line indeed. Phone lines are open for you. If you want to weigh in on that or anything Saints, 504-260-1870. I'm Seth Dunlap. He's Steve Court. This is Fans First Take on Saints Radio, WWL. Welcome back to Fans First Take on Saints Radio, WWL. Seth Dunlap, Steve Court. We're getting some texts saying, no, this can't be true. No, it is true. Here's more from the article on Pro Football Talk. Quoting from them, it's easy to see how big of a change that will be. In the past, if a quarterback ran the ball on 3rd and 5, he'd usually slide feet first once he picked up 5 yards. But he'd slide head first now to pick up the last yard if he was met by an opposing defender after gaining 4 yards. Now, there's no distinction between feet first and head first. At the goal line, the same thing. That'll be interesting. We'll talk about that more next hour. Are you ready for your chance to win $1,000 in our Intercom National Cash Contest? The code word this hour is SHADE. Text SHADE to 72881. That's 72881. Text now and you could win $1,000 cash. Listen for the next code word just before the top of the hour every hour, now through 6 p.m. $1,000 is up for grabs. Win it for your wallet. Good luck from all of us at WWL. We never charge for text, but individual plan text and data rates apply. Please don't text and drive. One more hour of your calls and texts. Saints fans, line them up. It's game day, 504-260-1870. I'm Seth Dunlap, Steve Court on Fans First Take.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.